So about this 2020-2028 area plan public hearing for the program funded by the Older Americans Act and Older Californians Act. Please note that this meeting is being recorded. My name is Elizabeth Breyer. I am the Area Plan Administrator for the Office of Aging, and I will be presenting the draft area plan today. With me, I have Claudia Harris, our Office on Aging and Veterans Service Office Director, and Erin Elizari, Program Manager. If you haven't done so, please make sure to sign up. You can find the attendance towards the back of the room. In accordance with the California Code Regulations, Title 22, Section 7308, the purpose of the public hearing is to solicit comments and present information on the draft area plan. In today's meeting, you can expect to receive information on the data use, funding allocations, programs, goals and objectives of the Office on Aging. All questions and comments will be addressed at the end of the presentation. Please complete the speaker's request form if you wish to make a comment. Completed speaker request forms must be turned in prior to the calling of the public comments. There's also little note cards available to you. If you have any questions, you can write them down and bring them over to Claudia and Erin so they can address your answer your questions at the end of the presentation. Testimonies will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. If there are any questions throughout the presentation, please use the note cards to write your questions and write it to a throwaway number. Again, questions will be answered at the end of the presentation. The Office on Aging is a designated area agency on aging, commonly referred to as the AAA, for Orange County since 1974. We are a public agency tasked to address the needs and concerns of all older adults in Orange County. As a local AAA, we are mandated to comply with federal and state requirements. One state requirement is the development of the area plan every 4 years. The area plan is the result of extensive planning, which includes but not limited to community and service provider assessment, surveys, and older adult council. The plan identifies goals and objectives for service delivery that reflect the priorities of Older Americans Act and aligns with the needs of our older adult community. Every 4 years, we are required to draft and submit the area plan to the California Department of Aging for approval. This plan is due to CDA by May 1st, 2024. The area plan follows a prescribed format, and it is required to only address programs funded under the Older Americans Act and Older Californians Act. The process of assessing needs among older adult community is ongoing and involves regular contact with providers and community partners. We make a great effort to stay informed of developing needs and community trends so we can adjust our programs and services accordingly. To provide the broadest perspective possible, we utilize various sources, such as, but not limited to, the Community Assessment Survey for Older Adults to assist with the development of the area plan. The Community Assessment Survey for Older Adults, hereinafter referred to as CASOA, was administered to a random sample of older adult households with an adult member 55 years or older. A total of 5,000 households with an older adult were randomly selected to receive the survey. These households first received a half-page postcard, inviting them to complete the survey online, followed by a mailed hard copy survey packet, which included a cover letter, a copy of the questionnaire, and a postage paid return envelope. The objectives of the study were to identify community strengths to support successful aging, articulate the specific needs of older adults in the community, estimate contributions made by older adults in the community, and develop estimates and projections of resident needs in the future. Aspects of immobility is crucial for older adults as it significantly impacts their well-being and quality of life. The following six community dimensions were explored and assisted with the planning process and establishing priorities: community design, employment and finances, equity and inclusivity, health and wellness, information and assistance, productive activities. Survey results revealed that the largest challenges faced by older adults were in the areas of housing, information about older adult services, and healthcare. At least 40% of older residents reported at least one item in these categories was a major or moderate problem in the 12 months prior to taking the survey. According to the 2023-2024 Orange County Community Indicators Report, housing supply continues to lag demand in Orange County, leading to high home prices and the need for significant investment in all forms of housing, particularly multi-unit housing. Measuring community livability starts with assessing the quality of life of those who live there and ensuring that the community is attractive, accessible, and welcoming to residents of all ages. Additionally, a well-designed community enhances the quality of life for residents by encouraging smart land use and zoning, ensuring the affordable housing is accessible to all, and providing mobility options to support residents aging in place. COSTUA survey findings revealed that housing continues to be a challenge for older adults. When considering housing affordability and community future to new urbanism, lower scores were given by older adults compared to many other items on the survey, resulting in a low 18% positive rating. When considering availability of mixed-use neighborhoods, 18% of respondents reported experiencing housing needs and 22% reported mobility needs. It is no news that government programs, policies, and information assistance can support aging initiatives, allowing older adults and older residents to remain independent contributors to community quality. However, sometimes residents of any age fail to take advantage of services offered because they are not aware of the opportunities. According to COSTUA survey, 37% of older adults said they have challenges with accessing information and not knowing what services are available to them. The amenities available in the communities have a direct impact on the health and wellness of residents and their quality of life overall. A big part of healthy aging is maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Eating reasonable amounts of variety of nutritious food and getting physical activity every day can go a long way towards staying healthy as we age. In addition, mental wellness is essential to the overall health and quality of life. It affects how we think, feel, act, and make choices. Managing social isolation, loneliness, stress, depression, and mood through medical and self-care is key to healthy aging. Challenges related to health and wellness among older adults are outlined on the slide, which includes staying physically fit, maintaining a healthy diet, falling or injuring at home, and reporting mental health. The California Code of Regulations, Article 3, Section 7312, requires for the AAA to allocate an adequate portion of federal funds to provide access, in-home services, and legal assistance. Some of the services under access include transportation, case management, information and assistance, and outreach. In-home services include personal care, homemaker, or adult daycare, and residential repairs and or modifications. Legal assistance services include legal advice, representation, and assistance to the abundant program. The goals and objectives of the Office on Aging for the 2024-2028 cycle are based on survey findings, community reports, resources available, community and provider input, and discussion at public hearings on past and current area plans. We have established four goals, which are to inform and educate community, coordinate service delivery and enhance collaborative partnership, ensure quality of services, and continue participation in the development of the Orange County's master plan for aging. The most cited reason for non-use of available services and resources is lack of knowledge and awareness. The Office on Aging will continue to create awareness of available programs by serving as a lead advocate and educating the community and partners in quality of life, independence, and options for older adults and persons with disabilities. The objectives under this goal are to continue our collaborative efforts with community partners, county agencies such as the Social Services Agency, Healthcare Agency, Veterans Service Office, and continue our partnership with the Board of Supervisors and Older Adults Advisory Commission to increase awareness of services. Expand our outreach efforts throughout Orange County. Increase training efforts such as incorporating training on available services and programs, continue to collaborate and volunteer trainings. Prepare and distribute publications on available services and programs such as quarterly newsletters, social media campaigns, and year-end program reports. Limited resources demand cooperative approaches to service delivery and systems planning. In addition, population projections prove urgent need for strategic planning for coordination of service delivery. The Office on Aging will continue to foster strategic partnerships addressing issues that relate to the health, well-being, independence, and dignity of older adults in Orange County. The objectives of goal number two are to continue as an advisory member of the Orange County Aging Services Collaborative, continue provisions of services to unpaid family caregivers such as virtual self-paced caregiver training modules and in-person support groups, maintaining the designated status for the Aging and Disability Resource Connection by continuing our partnership with the Dale Macintosh, continue to offer evidence-based health promotion programs in English and Spanish, which include chronic disease self-management program, diabetes self-management program, and matter balance. The Older Adults Advisory Commission is tasked with developing a long-term priority recommendations to present to the Orange County Board of Supervisors, which will address older adults' needs and enhance alignment among county programs and services. Ensuring the quality of services among older adult programs is crucial because it directly impacts the well-being and satisfaction of older adults. Quality services help maintain their dignity, independence, and overall quality of life. Additionally, it fosters trust in the programs and ensures that older adults receive the support and care they need as they age. Quality assurance also contributes to the effectiveness and efficiency of these programs, maximizing resources and improving outcomes for older adults. The objectives to this goal are to launch, collect, review, and analyze surveys from callers, program participants, and evidence-based workshop participants, and improve data collection process by updating policies and procedures, creating user desk guides, and provide trainings as needed to providers. The Office on Aging will continue to play an active role on the county's master plan for aging planning team and assist with guiding coordination with county departments on crafting and developing the county's master plan for aging. The plan will focus on the five goals in the state's master plan, which are housing, access to healthcare, equity, caregiving, and economic security. The objectives to this goal are to continue to play an active role on the county's master plan for aging planning team and assist with the guiding coordination with county departments on developing the county's master plan. Review needs assessment to determine the needs and identify gaps in care and service. As mentioned earlier, California Code Regulation Article 3, Section 7312 requires the AAA to allocate an adequate portion of federal funds to provide priority services, which are access, in-home services, and legal assistance. Minimum percentages of applicable funds are calculated on the annual Title III baseline allocation minus the Title III administration and minus ombudsman. The percentages listed on the slide have been identified for annual expenditure throughout the four-year planning period. These percentages are based on survey findings, needs assessments, data reports, availability of resources, community and provider feedback, and public hearing discussion. The services and units being proposed to continue for the 2024-2028 area plan cycle under access include the following: 18,000 one-way trips under transportation, 10,000 hours of case management, which include assessing participant needs, developing care plans, coordinating services among providers, and providing follow-up and reassessment as needed. 20,000 contacts under information and assistance, which provides and links individuals with information on services available within the community, and at a maximum includes offering a follow-up call to all individuals who were linked to a service. 5,000 contacts under outreach. This includes one-on-one contacts with individuals for the purpose of identifying potential clients and encouraging their use of existing services and benefits. The services and units being proposed under in-home services include 2,200 hours of personal care, which assists older adults with activities of daily living, which include bathing, dressing, clothing, transferring, continence, and feeding. 4,400 hours of homemaker services, which includes light housekeeping in the participant's home, such as preparing for meals, shopping for personal items, and managing money. 600 hours of chore services, which includes assistance with heavier household tasks, such as yard work or sidewalk maintenance. 32,000 hours of adult daycare, which includes out-of-home supervision, healthcare, recreation, and or independent living skills training offered in centers. Services under legal assistance include legal advice, counseling, and or representation by an attorney. Our target goal for the year is to provide 8,300 hours of legal assistance. Other programs outside of the priority services category funded by the Older Americans Act and Older Californians Act that we administer are the Elderly Nutrition Program, Health Promotion, Family Caregiver Support Program, Senior Community Service Employment Program, Ombudsman, Elder Abuse Prevention, and Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program. The Elderly Nutrition Program includes meals in a congregate setting to promote socialization, home delivered meals, nutrition screening, and nutrition education. The targeted goals for the year under the Elderly Nutrition Program are 3,500 congregate meals, 1 million home delivered meals, and 16 nutrition and nutrition specialists. The Health Promotion Evidence-Based Program provides workshops related to the prevention and mitigation of the effects of chronic disease, including but not limited to osteoporosis, hypertension, obesity, diabetes, weight loss and control, stress management, fall prevention, physical activity, and improved nutrition. The workshops available now include chronic disease self-management program, diabetes self-management program, and matter of balance. The Family Caregiver Support Program was established to provide support services to reduce caregiver depression, anxiety, and stress, as well as enable caregivers to provide care longer, thereby avoiding or delaying the need for costly institutional care. The services that we are proposing on continuing for the 2024-2028 area plan are included in the five main categories listed on the screen. Information services, which includes information on caregiving and our community education on caregiving, including information about available services. Access assistance includes caregiver outreach and information and assistance to link caregivers to the opportunities and services available to them. Support services, which includes caregiver assessment, counseling, support groups, training, and case management. Respite care is the provision of services for caregivers to provide temporary relief from caregiving responsibilities. And supplemental services include assistive devices and home adaptations for caregiving. The Senior Community Service Employment Program provides paid part-time work-based training opportunities at local nonprofit or government agencies for low-income adults age 55 plus to gain employable skills to re-enter or remain in the workforce. The Ombudsman Program investigates complaints of elder and dependent abuse made by or on behalf of individual residents of long-term care facilities. Staff and volunteers visit licensed long-term care facilities and provide a regular presence to ensure that the rights of residents are protected. The Elder Abuse Prevention Program includes activities to develop, strengthen, and administer programs for the prevention and treatment of elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation. Education and training sessions are provided in the community to the public, professionals, and family caregivers. The Health and Training Counseling and Advocacy Program provides community education sessions and individualized one-on-one counseling on Medicare, managed care, and other private health insurance issues. This concludes our presentation for today. Thank you for your time. Public comments after today's meeting will be accepted up to 3 p.m. today. The final draft of the area plan will be available on the Office on Aging website at www.officeonaging.ocgov. For a copy of this presentation, please contact me via email at elizabeth.frayer@occr.ocgov.com. At this moment, we will answer any questions you may have regarding our presentation and next steps public comments. Please complete the speaker's request form if you wish to make a comment. And remember, testimonies will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Did you have something else you want to say, or is it just the question?
Will we have a question?
No, we can ask, but it was just the question.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we do have one question submitted. Question is, if I want to make sure I ask this correctly, 73% bond allocation. Where is the other 27?
You slide each other, so it's validation. There's one element that has 73.
No, 15. So 46% access, 20% in-home services, 12% legal services. Yeah, so the minimum percentages of the funds that are calculated are on the annual Title III VA baseline allocation. So this is minus the Title III administration and minus the budget. So the other percentage is allocated to admin and investment.
You want me to ask me
sure.
So yeah, so some of our 3B funding goes to non-priority services as well. So we do have like community services that includes senior activities and cash material aid. And so that's not necessarily reflective in that percentage because it's not labeled as a priority service, it's a not priority. So it's not part of that percentage that you see there. So when you tack those on, you'll start getting 100%.
It'd be nice if the slide showed 100%
of our
area.
Thank you.
So I'm grateful that I went. I do feel like I want to be pro that. Committee. So I understand the general nation of these goals that are set, but where are the matrices that itemize how those goals are going to be achieved by the county or by the Office on Aging? And how are they released to the public?
So the goals and objectives are in the draft area plan.
No, the goals are in the draft area plan, but the specific the actions taken by the office, I'm not there.
And I can help answer that. So the area plan is a very prescribed document. Our funder, in terms of where we receive the Older American Act funds, is the California Department of Aging. They prescribe the area plan documents, what those is, what is included, and what information of detail that we must include. Anything outside of that, we are very limited to disclose. So in general, they prescribe a specific format of where are the goals, here's the objectives. It really is the more behind the scenes, although it's not written in paper, it's behind the scenes on all our efforts and our community partners, providers, services that, and including some of our direct services that then go into play to be able to achieve the goals. So although not written in the actual document per regulations and how the area plan is formatted.
And what are the funding sources? The Office of Aging, so you indicated that this is just the Older American Act, other sources have to support other programs. And again, I know that's not necessarily part of this, but
a great community question. That is correct. That is a great community question. Yes, it is not part of the area plan because it focuses on the Older American Act funds and the Older American Californians Act funds. However, Office on Aging does have other funding sources and efforts to diversify funds to be able to provide services in addition to what we receive grant for the Older American Act programs. Some of those could be local, some of those could be state grants, it could be a combination of. So for the purpose of today's area plan, we have to inform you of the grants that are coming that are strictly from the Older Americans Act programs we receive and support our services.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
One of the questions, I think it's more of a comment. Can a glossary be added with all the acronyms? Thank you for that comment. It's kind of so if you can see it.
Should I read it?
Yeah. No, is there anything else? Anybody else?
I was one of the three that reported was the survey had a 7.5% response rate, and I thought it seemed a little low. I wanted to know if we can make conclusions that they can be considered representative of the senior population, and then any actions to increase the response on that survey.
The CASELOT survey?
Yes.
Yeah. So the CASELOT survey is a state survey that we use to form the area plan. We can definitely go back and provide those comments to the state as far as their next survey comes around. Thank you.
Hi, Crystal Miles. Thank you for having all this. But I saw a common theme of the need for dissemination of information. And for those who don't know, one of the organizations I'm with, we're very much looking for information. So, two parts. One, since that was the common theme of making sure that the information gets out there, because a lot of the older adults, as you said, they didn't know a lot of these programs existed. Two parts. One, what is your plan to accomplish that goal? And two, based on the, you know, almost 70% or 74%, are you going to have budget for that? Because you have an overhead of almost like 28%. So will there be budget to allow for the dissemination of information?
So as we build program budgets, for example, one of the programs under the 3T is information and assistance. There is a specific prescribed budget format that we must submit to the state on our efforts and what does that include, which means not only what staff are providing the support under that program, but then how much of the funds are going to go to areas such as materials for marketing and those marketing efforts and what percentage that will be, in addition to, of course, any programming actual activity to make that happen, whether it's materials, whether it's the staff necessary to deliver and disseminate this information. So that is something that we are required to submit to our funders at California Department of Aging. And that is not just for the information and assistance to answer that question, but also applies to all other programs that we have, whether they are directly provided by the Office on Aging or through our contracted service providers.
Any other comment or
Yes, each program has their allocated funds that we pay for it. Yes, that is a yes.
I was just wondering how cities find out about available funds, cities in St. Louis County. How does the communication work?
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I'm just wondering more specifically, like, how I work for a city, so I'm trying to figure out how, like, for me, how would I know when I when the funds are available? What are
Thank you. No, thank you for that clarification.
Yeah. So the county has various processes and procedures, and in order for a city or any organization to apply for any of the programs and have that opportunity to get funds for senior programs, you have to go through an RFP process. So it's a request for proposal, and it's through bid season. So my recommendation is So Open Gov, go to that website, and they'll show you how to apply and how to get information as to what's available.
Okay, is there a deadline for when to submit RFPs, or is it just any time throughout the year, or is there any specific?
They can open at any time. Okay. So go on there and look at what's available.
You can also register in the system to then and select type of programs that you would want to apply for. And so when those types of programs open up, you would then get notified. So then you'll know that there's an RP, open RP.
Yeah.
And we do work with the senior, I know it's gone out through like our senior center directors. Like we had a couple RPs recently, and we do access that RIP to get it out to our senior center directors. So so it goes out that way as well, but if you're not associated necessarily with those, you may not.
So I'm going to add a little bit to that. So that's great question. Aside from going onto our county's OSHA.gov website and look for opportunities, it will tell you when RFPs, requests for proposals, requests for applicants are open in the various different programs. Office on Aging, CADS, we are part of that, you know, procurement process within our county. So we put our information on any of our programs that we are requesting proposals for on that. Once you click on that, you register, you click on it, it will open up the actual document and what it is that is being requested, what proposal requested for. And that can come at various different times, as Elizabeth mentioned, at any time. Our traditionally older American Act programs do run on multiple year type of cycle grants. And so we might not open one up where they, let's say an example, one particular service area every single year. It might be once, and then the next one might be 3 years later. However, that can be fluid because many a times funding sources might shift and change and things like that, where additional opportunities may come up and then we open again. So it's always a forever of changing opportunities. In terms of marketing information, aside from our county's efforts, we also partner with our local community centers and disseminate that information. We post it on our website as well, so always encourage to go on that to see what's open and available, because we will post that information with instructions on where to go to the county site to do all the proper. There are specific processes that we have to follow because of the federal code of regulation and, of course, procurement regulations and processes within the county.
If you email me, I can send you the link.
I'm new to all of this, but I'm curious. My lens is potentially one of opening up an adult day program and a franchise or that are offering this. And so the question I have, I looked at the one slide and you suggested that there would be like 32,000 hours of daycare. How do I translate that? Does that over the 4 year period, does that imply 8,000 a year, or is that per year? I just need a little bit more.
Yeah.
How do I get from that number to like the mental math that like, is there going to be an opportunity for me to apply for assistance in opening this up, or what are my avenues?
Right. So the 32,000 hours of the adult daycare are for the year. So you can add 32 over the 4 years, and you know you can get that cumulative number.
Okay.
And that. but Yes, so it's 32,000 per year, and that's our goal. And we've established that goal based on trend. But when you do apply for RFP or the opportunity, you can also have the opportunity to say, hey, I can do this many hours for this amount, or for this amount.
Okay. I mean, I see that you put the slide back up with your topic. I might just like,
I can add a little more. So that 32,000 per year is cumulative of all of our providers. So like right now we have three providers who do adult daycare for us this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that number is rolled up, and we would recompile all the service hours, the hours provided by every provider, and that's what we report to the state. So that goal, I mean, would include, it's not just a goal for one provider, it's our goal for us, for the county. It just depends on how many providers, right? So we can, it all adds up, so. Yeah, as a one single provider, you don't, it's not necessarily that you're doing that.
I just don't know if it's free enough, and like maybe there is an opportunity, or is there a real big demand area, isn't it? That's more so a question to ask, but I can ask you that. Thanks.
Hi, good morning. I'm Kathleen Kalanda with Easter Seals, Southern California. I work here. I'm really going to do a commercial for both adult daycare and Richard County, because we do adult daycare for seniors in Brea, California. And in response to an RFP last year, thank you very much, we started intergenerational services at our center with toddlers, preschoolers, and infants, and soon to include high school students also. So it's a wonderful service. I was in Sacramento yesterday talking about it, so it's amazing. And I thank you for the opportunity, and I encourage all of you providers to look into the RFPs, because it's been a great experience. It just started.
They're never gonna get
around. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the comment. And I want to add a little bit to that in terms of maybe why that information in that particular program is not in the area plan, because it is not, it was not considered part of the Older American Act programs that are the, not just the priority services, but part of the ongoing aging services. Sometimes I spoke earlier about opportunities where other funding becomes available and other efforts that we tap into. So funds become available that do kind of align with existing programs, but might look a little bit different. And that's when Office on Aging will release a request for proposals. And through that equitable process, then vendors, service providers, community organizations within our county can go ahead and apply and propose for those services. So that is actually a perfect example on how it all kind of comes together.
Any more comment cards? Anybody else want to provide a comment? Question? Okay. So this concludes our public hearing. Thank you everyone for attending and taking the time to be here today. Thank you.